Greetings and welcome to Throttle Up. This is a radio show and podcast that showcases critical thinking and complex problem solving. And it is designed to inform, delimit, empower, and amaze. Now, all aboard the Throttle Up Express, powered by High Velocity Reason, and I am your host, Captain Kevin Smith, U.S. Navy retired. Now, I'm a naval aviator and former squadron commander and Top Gun instructor as a naval aviator. And also, I'm a pioneer in the field of some aspects of critical thinking and complex problem solving, and of course, high velocity reason. Now, our tagline for the show is to accelerate beyond the ordinary. So we could say that we are not ordinary thinkers, you and I, but we are different and we are out of the box thinkers. Our motto for the show is to employ high velocity reason to achieve high octane performance. And in a nutshell, that basically means to stay out ahead of the problem. That's particularly important if we want to achieve success. Now, our mission statement for the show, and this changes a little bit from time to time, but this is a pretty good mission statement, is to provide our listening audience with a relatively easy yet effective way to strengthen our power of reason through the employment of critical thinking. Now, our website, the address here is throttleupradio.com. That's throttleupradio.com. That's the address for the website. And before we close on our introduction, I wanted to say that our audio engineering services is provided by Evergroove Studios, and they are located in Evergreen, Colorado, which is right outside of Denver on the west side. Highly recommend their services for anyone who wants to get involved with audio. It could be any kind of audio that you might have in mind, including music, by the way. Also, graphics artist services and media support is provided by Reflections Printing, and the gal is Jennifer. She heads up this organization, and she owns it as well. And Jennifer does a great job with all of our media support, is a fantastic graphics artist and media production specialist, and her phone number is 435-574-0422. That's 435-574-0422. And before we close the introduction, I want to say that the show is typically organized into three parts. So part one of Throttle Up is critical thinking, or an ongoing discussion of various aspects of critical thinking and complex problem solving. Part two is our storyboard, and the storyboard is a story of America, or a story of Americans, story of an individual. It could be any kind of story, but it all relates to trying to get our arms around this whole thing, which we call critical thinking and complex problem solving. And then part three is our radio essay. Now, our radio essay is typically a little bit more in-depth treatment of a particular subject. We do not intend for this to be boring. But for those who would like a little bit more info on certain things that we cover in part one and part two, then part three typically is a way for us to get a little bit further into a subject matter and understand it better. Okay, all aboard the Throttle Up Express. This is a place where all critical thinkers and complex problem solvers are welcome with open arms. And welcome back to Throttle Up. And this is going to be a special edition of Throttle Up. Now, we do special editions from time to time. And there are various reasons for that. Mostly what's going on in the world and what's going on in our country. And occasionally we kind of decide that we want to spend some quality time on a particular subject, get into it in some meaningful way, which, you know, is intended to add to, you know, what's in the headlines and what's in the normal news outlets, which is kind of like a quick and dirty discussion. Here we want to spend a little bit more time on what we call applied critical thinking. What exactly does that mean? It means that we think critically about things that are particularly important to us as an individual, as a community, as a organization, if we happen to belong to an organization, as well as a country. So what's particularly important today? Well, I guess you could say a number of things, and I would not disagree with you on that at all. I think what's important today is, of course, is the catastrophe happening at the border. I think what's important today is the aftermath of the special counsel's report and what's going on there politically, which is kind of a kabuki theater, in my view. But also what's going on today is increasing concern about airline safety, or we call it aviation safety, if you want to get a little bit more specific. And, of course, you know, I've been involved in that in various ways. When I began my aviation career back in 1963 with the Navy, I've been involved in it most of the time since that period. And so aviation safety is of key concern to me and my colleagues, the people that have participated in the profession that I was in. I was in the aviation profession as an aviation careerist. Specifically, I was a naval aviator, which also was called a Navy pilot. And after I retired from the Navy as a Navy fighter pilot, I went to fly and participate in airline operations, became a captain, flight manager, instructor pilot, you name it. So I got involved in lots of things really dealing with aviation over the years, and I'm still involved in it in some fashion. Of course, I'm retired from active flying because of age, but I still get involved in it in terms of being an author. I have an author of a number of books on aviation. I have a number of articles dealing with aviation. I have some speaking engagements that deal with that coming up this spring and summer. And so I guess you could say that I'm still involved in it in some form or fashion. And of course, aviation is my love, and I've always enjoyed it. And I was honored to be involved in that for a long period of time, doing something that I truly enjoyed. But, you know, aviation safety now has taken center stage because of the two recent accidents that involved the Boeing 737 MAX airplane. It's also called the 737-800 MAX and the 737-900 MAX. Those are both stretched versions of the Boeing 737. And those stretched versions also utilize a newer type of engine. This newer type of engine happens to be what we call in aviation, we call it a geared turbofan engine. It's a bit more fuel efficient than a standard turbofan engine. So it is an offshoot, or it's a version of a turbofan engine. All the commercial jet engines today are turbofan, Some military engines are still not, but most jet engines today are turbofan. This happens to be a turbofan that's called a geared turbofan. Basically, what it means, in effect, is that that fan turns a bit slower than the other components in this jet engine. Okay, so the jet engine is a turbine. Basically, that's what it is. And all turbines operate, they spin on an axis, on a lateral axis. Everything spins, turns, thus the term turbine. All right, so we want to talk about aviation safety. Why do we want to do that? Well, because things are coming together. We're beginning to understand more about the Lion Air accident and the Ethiopian Air accident, which took a large number of lives unnecessarily. And as we learn more and more about these tragedies, we can begin to piece things together. We can begin to employ what I call our critical thinking skills, and to be able to consider things that are outside the box, as well as things that you might consider to be traditional thinking. There's a lot of traditional thinking going on right now. There's not a lot of innovative thinking going on, which I think is kind of unfortunate. I do think it's a time now for us to think critically and to apply some critical thinking to this particular problem, to try to understand it from a critical thinking standpoint, and try to make sense of it and try to come up with a solution or a set of solutions that might very well be non-traditional. And it is okay for us to consider the non-traditional along with the traditional. Why is that? That's because, because we have that ability to think critically, to think creatively, to think innovatively, if you will. We have that ability, and we should not suppress that, particularly in times of trouble. Often, breakthroughs are made because people were not afraid of constrained by the inability to think critically. We weren't afraid to do it. We wanted to be innovative and creative, and we bring that into our lives, and we bring that into our situations in which we find ourselves in, and these situations might be mission critical. And so we have this uncanny ability as humans, when it is properly trained, we have this uncanny ability to think critically, think outside the box, particularly during times which we would call mission critical. Now, in terms of commercial air travel, in terms of aviation in general, in terms of the airline industry, and more specifically, we have found ourselves, we are now in what could be called a mission critical environment. Things are happening, tragedies are occurring that are unexpected, they are frightening to many of us, they are seriously concerning to even more. And some of the lame attempts to explain it away are in my view, really pathetic. I've seen a lot of people performing in front of cameras recently I guess you could say it. It certainly is an area of concern for me because I consider myself to be an expert in this field. I've done a lot of serious work in the area of aviation safety aviation performance optimization, you name it. I've done a lot of very, very serious work. And so I consider myself to be a top-notch expert in the field, and I think a lot of stuff that's being said out there is a bit weak, intellectually weak. It is nothing is there's no innovation that I can see, and no creativity. And so I guess I'm holding my industry up to a pretty high standard, but I think it should be. It should be held to a higher standard than some non-mission critical activities or environments, but this is a mission critical environment. And now we are in a serious place, in time and place, serious place, which I call a mission critical event has occurred. And it is very, very concerning. And so what do we do about it? How should we think about it? So that's the whole point of this special edition. Now, this is part one. I'm assuming that we're going to be more than just this special edition. My plan right now is to have a number of shows on aviation safety and to deal with various aspects of aviation safety. I know I want to cover things like pilot training in more detail, but I don't want to, this show is not going to be excruciatingly technical in nature. It is a radio show and podcast, as you well know. And so anybody from any walk of life should be able to access the show, download the podcast, and listen to it at your leisure, and get something from it. In other words, there are some takeaways. There are some things that could very well be valuable to you, not only in your understanding of aviation safety and what, as a consumer of air travel, what you should know, what you need to know, and how should we go about thinking about air travel. Most of us are, in fact, consumers of air travel. Air travel is particularly important. Global air travel is especially important today. It has taken on increasing levels of importance in many of our lives, business and private lives. And so how should we think about it? And is there anything that we ought to do? Or what can the traveling public do? Are they just are they relegated to being you know, a bunch of blind consumers, or do we have a place, a role in this industry to be to be intelligent consumers of the air travel product? Okay, so that's the whole idea behind this show, or this special edition, if you will. And again, this is probably going to be more than one part. I'm planning right now to have it two or three parts on aviation safety. And, you know, they may not go necessarily together in terms of the sequence that we do on the radio show, but they would be grouped together in the podcast. So that could help, you know, a number of people who want to get a more in-depth understanding of what's going on in commercial aviation today. Okay, so that completes the introductions. And the next step here is we're going to be talking about the latest on the Ethiopian Airlines crash and tragedy. We're trying to make some sense out of that. So take a short break and we will be right back. Okay, welcome back to Throttle Up. Now, again, this is a special edition of Throttle Up. It's special edition is entitled Aviation Safety Part 1. Now, here we're going to be talking about the Ethiopian Airlines tragedy, catastrophe. And this is the latest information. So this is the latest aviation safety concerns that we are facing today, not only as an industry, but also as a consumer of this product. And we need to try to make some sense out of this and deal with it in an intelligent way and come to it from the perspective of critical thinking, which also involves thinking objectively about it. We have no sacred cows here, all right? Government, industry, consumers, academia, you name it, no sacred cows. We are looking at this thing from a critical thinking standpoint, which means that we have no cognitive bias. So here is a latest from the Wall Street Journal, the business section. Ethiopian airline pilots initially followed Boeing's required emergency steps to disable 737 MAX system. That's the title of it. Subtitled Details of Ethiopian Crew's Actions Gleaned from Preliminary Black Box Data. And this has been updated April 3rd. This article goes on to say that the pilots at the controls of the Boeing 737 MAX that crashed in March in Ethiopia initially followed emergency procedures laid out by the plane maker, but still failed to recover control of the jet. According to people briefed on the probe's preliminary findings, after turning off a flight control system that was automatically pushing down the plane's nose shortly after takeoff, March 10th, these people said, the crew couldn't get the aircraft to climb and ended up turning it back on and relying on other steps before the final plunge killed all 157 people on board. The sequence of events, still subject to further evaluation by investigators, calls into question assertions by Boeing and the U.S. Federal Aviation Administration over the past 5 months that by simply following established procedures to turn off the suspect stall prevention feature called MCAS, pilots could overcome a misfire of the system and avoid ending in a crash. The pilots on Ethiopian Airlines Flight 302 initially reacted to the emergency by shutting off power to electric motors driven by the automated system, these people said, but then appeared to have re-engaged the system to cope with a persistent steep nose-down angle. It wasn't immediately clear why the pilots turned the automated system back on instead of continuing to follow Boeing's standard emergency checklist, but government and industry officials said the likely reason would have been because manual controls to raise the nose didn't achieve the desired results. After first cranking a manual wheel in the cockpit that controls the same movable surfaces on the plane's tail that MCAS had affected, the pilots turned electrical power back on, one of these people said. They began to use electric switches to try to raise the plane's nose, according to these people. But the electric power also reactivated MCAS, allowing it to continue its strong downward commands, the people said. I just lost my place temporarily. A Boeing spokesman said Wednesday morning, we urge caution against speculating and drawing conclusions on the findings prior to the release of the flight data and the preliminary report. The same automated system also implicated in a Boeing 737 crash in Indonesia in late October has become the focus of various congressional and federal investigations, including a Justice Department criminal probe. The latest details are based on data downloaded from the plane's black box recorders. These people said they come as Ethiopian investigators prepare to release a report about their preliminary conclusions from the accident anticipated in the coming days. Investigators probing the October 29th crash of Lion Air Flight 610 believe erroneous data from a single sensor caused the MCAS system to misfire, ultimately sending the plane into a fatal nosedive and killing all 189 people on board. Some of the same key features were at play in the Ethiopian crash, according to people briefed on the details of both crashes. After the Lion Air accident, Boeing and the FAA issued bulletins to the 737 MAX operators around the world, reminding them of the existing procedures pilots are trained to follow should the plane's flight control system go haywire and mistakenly push down the nose. Those are the steps the Ethiopian pilots initially took months later, these people said. Okay, so before I continue with this chilling narrative, I wanted to point out that we are talking about situations that occur very soon and quickly after takeoff, and the pilots are in a mode of complete chaos. They are trying to sort out what is going on in this event, and we have to keep that in mind, that these the flight crews are startled. They are in this state of confusion. In aviation, we call it the cone of confusion, and they are trying their best to figure out why the airplane is not responding the way it should. Now, airplanes should respond the way the pilots expect it to respond. When the airplane doesn't respond to the way the pilots are expecting it to respond, there's something wrong with the airplane. It's not the pilot problem. Okay, so let me continue with this chilling narrative here by the Wall Street Journal. That procedure works to disable the new MCAS might, much like other flight control features on earlier models, by cutting power. They're calling that procedure, and then what they're saying is that the procedure we're talking about works like similar procedures by cutting power that applies across all airplane models here. The plane maker and the FAA's bulletin highlighted that safeguards were often mentioned after the Lion Air accident when U.S. aviation industry officials vouched for the aircraft's safety. Boeing Chief Executive Dennis Muilenburg noted the procedure in a November 13th television interview when asked about information given to pilots. He said, in fact, that's part of the training manual, Mr. Muilenburg said on Fox Business Network, adding the manufacturer was confident in the plane's safety. Quote, it's an existing procedure, so the bulletin we put out pointed to that existing flight procedure. At a briefing for reporters last week, a Boeing official noted investigators of both crashes were continuing but didn't comment about specifics when he outlined a coming software fix for the MCAS system and related training changes. The revised system will rely on two sensors instead of one as originally designed to prevent erroneous data triggering it. The system will now be designed to make it less aggressive and allow pilots more control over it, according to previous Boeing and FAA statements. Now, of course, that begs the question, which is, okay, if that's the new design criteria, then why wasn't that part of the original design? What was wrong with the process that led to the decision to not incorporate those designed features into the original design? And that, of course, is what you know, people like you and me who are critical thinkers, that's what we want to know. We don't just want to know that, oh, you have supposedly come up with a fix to the problem, but why is it that you need to have a fix? What happened along the way that led you astray? What happened, Mr. Industry, along the way that led you astray, thinking that what you were doing was correct, thinking that what you were doing was the optimum of what could be done? And as it turns out, not only was it not the optimum of what could be done, it was also fundamentally dangerous. Okay, let me continue. At a briefing for reporters last week, a Boeing official noted investigators of both crashes were continuing, but did not comment about specifics. We talked about that. Here's another quote by Mr. Sinnott, a Boeing vice president of product strategy, said last week, the plane maker had complete confidence that the changes we're making would address any of these accidents. The software fix could come as soon as mid-April, according to a person briefed on that issue, but further tests are needed before regulators can approve and mandate it so the grounded fleet can return to service. Another person close to the process, however, said final FAA reviews and tests could take up to 6 weeks. After that, it could take months longer for some overseas regulators to review and certify the fix for the aircraft they oversee. Activation of MCAS and a related pilot alert, which warns pilots of an impending aerodynamic stall, had been reported previously regarding the Ethiopian crash. But in the wake of the tragedy, Boeing, the FAA, and Ethiopian authorities leading the probe have refrained from making any comments about whether the crew followed Boeing sanctioned procedures to cope with the emergency. The article goes on to say that going forward, aviation experts, regulators, and pilots debating the relevant safety issues will have to consider the implications that while the pilots did take steps in the beginning, those apparently didn't work as expected, likely due to the plane's speed, altitude, and other factors. Eventually, the crew veered to other non-standard procedures that made their predicament even worse. Another issue likely to be raised by the preliminary Ethiopian report is why a single sensor malfunctioned or somehow may have been damaged shortly after takeoff, touching off the deadly chain of events. Okay, so that is our first dive into the latest aviation safety concerns. We can see here that what we're trying to do in this special edition of Throttle Up, which deals with aviation safety, we are trying to come to grips with this latest aviation safety concern. So let me kind of rephrase this a bit, put it in a different perspective, or reframe it differently, which of course is part and parcel of what we do when we think critically about things, or when we apply our critical thinking skills to a particular subject that is in this particular case that is mission critical. Okay, so we have a mission critical event that has occurred in this industry, and it's not the only industry, by the way, that has experienced mission critical events in its long history. Now, aviation doesn't have a long history necessarily compared to other industries. It has a relatively long history, but it doesn't have as long a history as, let's say, petroleum exploration or medicine or chemical engineering or what have you. But it does have a relatively long history, and mission-critical events will occur. And how do we know that? Is that just sort of like an anecdotal thing, or is that something that is that we would consider to be reasonable going forward? Yes, mission-critical events will happen. I'm going to point out two books that I'm aware of. There are others, of course, out there that I would recommend for you to take a look at. The first book, of course, is My Critical Thinking Essentials Handbook. That happens to be available through Amazon or Barnes & Noble. You can download the ebook. You can purchase the paperback version of it. When I say paperback version, it's a semi-hardcover, but it's a printed version of it. You can purchase that as well. So that would be the first book that I would get from my critical thinking library and mission critical library, if you will. And the second book would be Meltdown. I actually don't have the author's names. It's by two authors. It's a recent book. You can find it anywhere. It's called Meltdown. Next week I'll try to get the author's names for you. Apologize for that. I meant to write it down, but I don't have that in front of me. What I did is I purchased the audio version of the book and listened to it as I was recreating. And so I have the audio version of the book in audio book format. And so I don't have the title, the authors in front of me, but I will get that. The third book, of course, is The Logic of Failure by Dietrich Dorner. A very important book. I would consider that to be the top of my list anyway. Even though I have books out there, I would say, and the top of my list is that book, a rather very, not only interesting, but fascinating discussion. And what Dietrich Dorner has done is he has actually run real life experiments on how people solve complex problems, placing these people in these, well, they're simulated environments, but they're realistically determined environments. They're simulated environments, much the same thing that we have done in aviation in terms of flight simulators. We have looked at pilot performance utilizing these full mission simulators and gotten a lot of very interesting insights into how pilots perform and what does it take to perform well. And so those are the two things that I would recommend as we go forward in trying to understand what is going on in this field of aviation and what are the issues that we need to consider. Now, in both of these books, Meltdown, Logic of Failure, and, of course, my handbook, these failures that go across various industries all have similar characteristics, if you will. And once we begin to see these things in that particular context or utilizing that particular frame of reference, then we have a better chance of coming up with a viable long-term solution. Now, typically what happens is that we fix the glitch instead of solve the problem. Now, fixing the glitch is, of course, something that we love to do, that is very, very popular because it appears that we can quickly solve the problem and get on with whatever else we are trying to do. In this particular case, it's to sell more airplanes. But does fixing the glitch really do us justice over the long term? Now, if you study these two books and others like it, the conclusion is that fixing the glitch is not going to solve the problem, and it's not going to be beneficial to you, your company, and the industry over the long term. In fact, it might do just the opposite, it might be worse than what is than what's happening right now. In other words, you might very well make it worse. And so that brings me to this issue of a complex problem. Complex problems are also referred to as wicked problems. And when you encounter a wicked problem or a complex problem, often your initial attempts at solving the problem actually makes it worse. And so the first order of business ought to be, with respect to the Boeing 737 MAX airplane and the 737 MAX design crisis, is our so-called software fix actually going to solve the problem? If we put it in the context of a complex problem or a mission-critical problem, the answer is likely to be no. It will not ultimately fix the problem. It will only make it worse. Okay, so that ought to be caution number one as we go forward. That ought to be one of the takeaways that we have from this special edition of Throttle Up on aviation safety. Maybe our initial attempts to fix the problem will not work. And how do we know that? Okay, is this just guesswork, or is there a way for us to at least get some kind of an idea going that maybe some of the things that we are proposing to do will in fact not work, but might very well make the problem worse? And so that's particularly important as we go forward in considering this particular issue or set of problems facing aviation safety today. Now we're going to take a short break, and we will be right back. Okay, welcome back to Throttle Up. This is a special edition, as you know. The special edition is on aviation safety, part one. And let me continue with the first part of this, which is the latest aviation safety concerns. Now, this is another article that I'm going to read a part of it to give you some further insights into what's going on with this latest situation now. And this is from the Sun, news website. Airlines Boeing 737 MAX crash radio recording reveals pilots panic during doom flight's final moments. Details have begun to emerge of the final moments of the doom flight, which crashed 3 weeks ago, killing all 157 people on board. The pilot of the Ethiopian Airlines jet, which crashed minutes after takeoff, shouted, pitch up, just before it went down. It has been reported. Details have finally begun to emerge of the final moments of the doomed flight, which crashed 3 weeks ago, killing all 157 people on board. An anti-stall system on the plane, a Boeing 737 MAX, has since been blamed for the disaster, which made headlines around the world. Soon after takeoff, in about 450 feet above the ground, the aircraft's nose began to pitch downwards. And let's see, let me see if I can find the other page of that. As part of the upgrade, Boeing will install a standard visual warning system. Okay, so that this article is not pieced together properly. I apologize for that. It goes on to say that the MAX airplanes were grounded worldwide following an Ethiopian Airlines crash. This is about the changes, all right? So the standard warning system, this is about the changes now. The changes would also make standard visual warnings to the pilots if this system, which is now under scrutiny, it's called the MCAS system, stopped working. Previously, those warning messages and displays had been optional. Boeing said it will also change the design of the system so that it no longer relied on a single sensor. We are going to do everything that we can to ensure that accidents like these never happen again. The Federal Aviation Administration said that it had not reviewed or certified the software upgrade yet. The FAA has agreed to significantly improve its oversight of organizations performing certification on its behalf by July. U.S. Transportation Secretary Elaine Chao and some lawmakers on Wednesday questioned why Boeing did not require safety features on its top-selling planes that might have prevented the crashes. Executives with U.S. airlines welcome Boeing's move, but want U.S. regulators to sign off on the upgrade. Safety upgrade. Southwest Airlines, it says, supported Boeing's decision to upgrade safety features. Boeing software updates appear to add yet another layer of safety to the operation. Okay. The system will also be disabled if two airflow sensors that measure angle of attack or angle of the wing to the airflow, a fundamental parameter of flight, offer widely different readings, Boeing said. The anti-stall system, known as MCAS, or Maneuver Characteristics Augmentation System, has been pinpointed by investigators as a possible cause in the fatal crashes in Indonesia and Ethiopia. All right, so that's about it for that. We have just a few minutes to finish this special edition on Aviation Safety Part 1. And we are also going to be talking about next week, we're going to be talking about aviation safety from the perspective of the 12 plane crashes that changed aviation. We'll talk about that in some detail. Now, again, we're not morbid in terms of looking at aviation disasters. Aviation has always thought that the best way for us to make it safer is to understand the accidents that have occurred, so that we can learn. Well, we can all learn as an industry, all learn as a group of professionals. We can learn from past mistakes. We can make those enduring corrections to the system that delivers commercial aviation and military aviation as well. We can learn from that as we go forward. And so we're going to be looking at that. We're also going to be looking at some discussions. Now, we've had some of these discussions before, but we'll be looking at some of the stuff from one of my books. The book that we'll be talking about, particularly in the shows coming up, because as it turns out, maybe we could say that the book that I have written and had that's in publication right now was prophetic. Possibly that's true. The name of the book is Mission Adaptive Display Technologies and Operational Decision Making in Aviation. This book is published by IGI Global, and it's particularly germane to what's going on right now in the 737 MAX airplane. And as we move forward, we'll be talking about this book and what it is, what it has to say, what is the design principles and concepts that we're trying to explore in this important textbook, and how could it help us going forward? And that, you know, that's a very good question. What is out there that can be helpful? People talk about, about a software update or something. And, you know, I'm scratching my head. Is everything related to software, or are there other considerations that that we ought to have in mind? Is there additional training for our development personnel? Is there additional education in the form of critical thinking and complex problem solving? Maybe, you know, maybe instead of saying things like software, we ought to be saying things like thinking critically. How can we think critically about this new device or this new aspect of aviation, which is called, in this particular case, is called the MCAS, Maneuver Characteristics Augmentation System. Exactly what does that mean? It's a cute little acronym, but what we're trying to augment the flying characteristics of the airplane, for what reason are we doing that? Is it a safety of flight reason? What's the compelling driving factors behind such a device, such a feature, such a capability? What is exactly going on here, and how should we think about it in terms of being critical thinkers, in terms of being members of a modern industrial society, being concerned about safety, concerned about saving lives, concerned about preventing these catastrophes and these accidents from occurring in the future. You know, when the Deepwater Horizon oil platform exploded, how should we think about that as a country and as a, if we were a member of the petroleum industry, how should we think about it then? You know, is that something that was inevitable? Is that something that could have been prevented? Do we learn from that? And what can we learn from this tragedy of the 737 MAX catastrophes that are occurring? Two airplanes crashed in the same way within the span of about 4 months. This is a industry catastrophe that has occurred. How should we think about it? And what do we do as a group of professionals? And really, really, what do we do as members of consumers, or as members of a particular industry or related industries? And maybe there are things in related industries that we could bring to bear. Okay, so that completes, part one of this special edition of Throttle Up. And before I go, I would like to acknowledge a few people. I'd like to thank my listening audience for being here. And I would like to thank Red State Talk Radio for providing us an opportunity for each and every weekend to put on this radio show that we call Throttle Up. And I would like to thank all of you veterans out there. Thank you for your service. And I would like to thank the families of the veterans. Thank you for supporting this noble cause. And I would like to thank all of you on active duty in the Guard and the Reserve. Thank you for serving this great country of ours. And with that, I would like to say goodbye, and we will see you all again next week.